Hey, Nerd Talk Nation, this is your host, Jordan Halstead, and today me and my co-host, Micah, are going to be talking about some upcoming Star Wars news. Micah, thank you so much for joining me.
Glad to be here in a galaxy far, far away.
I know. So I feel like 2024, we've already hit Star Wars a couple of times. And I'm excited to see where this whole Star Wars thing is going. In January, it was released that they're already pushing Ahsoka Season 2, that Mandalorian and Grogu are going to get into a film, and then also that potentially they'll get a season four. So like the movie might be a culmination of everything being Ahsoka, the Mandalorian, and the Book of Boba Fett. Is that correct? Am I on the right track?
Yeah. So it's not going to be, to my knowledge, it's not going to be a trilogy or anything like that. It's sort of going to be like Solo, and it's sort of going to be like Rogue One, where they had like a one-off movie. But they, I guess the idea from what I gather is that they're going to do kind of a culmination of the series, some of the series they've been doing, Star Wars, Disney Plus has been doing in the Star Wars universe, like you said, with Boba Fett, with Mandalorian, and with Ahsoka. And I think, depending on all what they do in the second season of Ahsoka, it's really this idea of the payoff that you get from Star Wars Rebels, the animated series.
Yeah.
Which was what I was kind of hoping with in Ahsoka season one, which we kind of got, but kind of didn't. And those characters are in it. You know, all the characters from the Rebels universe were in the first season of Ahsoka. And so like, as we've watched these shows over the last couple of years, it's, you know, it's kind of clear that they're painting a larger universe within Star Wars. So like, for example, Ahsoka showed up in Mandalorian, and Ahsoka's got her own series, but then you also have the Book of Boba Fett, and Mandalorian is showing up in Book of Boba Fett. And there's just all these crossovers, which is cool because they're just showing up. And I wish, honest to God, that Marvel would do more of that, because we would see some of the people that we like and enjoy watching more. You know, we kind of live for those moments. So, yeah, from what I gather, this movie is going to be a culmination of what happens in Ahsoka, what happened in the Book of Boba Fett, and Mandalorian up until this point. Because originally, from what I read last year, that Mandalorian was going to be five seasons total and they were just going to stop it. So the last thing that I heard was they're going to do a four season of Mandalorian, but they're also going to get a movie. But the movie is tied into the larger story of Ahsoka, Boba Fett, and Grand Admiral Thrawn, and Thrawn's going to be your villain. And in the Rebel series, he was really, really good. He was a really calculated military man and just super underrated, in my opinion. So,
okay. Yeah, I'm really excited about the idea of just more Star Wars, but I also, and we've talked about this offline, is just, I really want it to be something that is not going to burn us out, and I want it to be a little bit more unique.
I think that it will be, though. I think that this kind of concept, you know, bringing those stories together and then doing something besides the Death Star and doing something besides Darth Vader or the Skywalkers, it's just going to be, you know, you're going to have some Jedi, you're going to have some Mandalorian, you're going to have General Thrawn. It's like taking the other side of Star Wars that we didn't see growing up, because all we got was the Skywalker saga. And now we're going to get it with everything else that's been going on in the galaxy.
Yes. And I think that it'll be good. And I'm really, really excited that how do you say his last name?
Djarin.
Sure.
Din
Djarin. Yeah. I'm like, I can never get it correct. Mando. I say it different. Yeah. Mando. I'm excited to see Mando more, because that character, like I'm starting to rewatch the series, and I'm just like, dang, he's just a very unique character. And like, it's not like that he is a one of a kind, but it's a certain type of character that I just really like. It's more your Western meets space odyssey. Like, it's just, like him walking in is very much like Clint Eastwood just walking through a town. Like it's like everybody kind of just they stop doing what they're doing to keep eyes on him, see what's going on, and I'm excited to see more of him. And I know season three got a lot of flack, but I very much have enjoyed everything all the way across the board.
Well, I think that the part of the reason that The Mandalorian was so successful is that it the way they filmed it and the way that they went about telling the story in a very slow motion kind of way.
Yes.
It brought back a feel of like Star Wars from 40 years ago, like A New Hope, Empire Strikes Back, Return of the Jedi. And there was very slow, methodical storytelling that went along with that. And you get that in The Mandalorian.
Well, and I'm also going to say this real quick. The way they shot some of the scenes was really, really cool too, because in season two, they have the giant, the crate monster or the crate dragon. And I don't know that you fully pick it up in that moment of what's going on, but there's a scene where when the dragon comes out of its cave, the entire format from the widescreen into a full screen happens. Just the way that it's shot. I'm like, oh my gosh. Like it's just really cool. It's unique. And I was like, I've never seen a movie switch the format before.
Well, series?
Yeah, yeah. Well, a movie or series. Just in total, like anything film related, I've never seen it just straight up change everything.
Well, it'll also be interesting to see what they do like post Boba Fett, because they didn't do a lot with that series and didn't get a lot of, you know, I don't know, hype. It didn't get a lot of praise. And so what are you just going to bring him back to? Because we got to think too, that all these series take place post Return of the Jedi. And,
but before, you know, Rise of Skywalker, or before,
Force Awakens.
Force Awakens. Yeah.
So it's like, you know, do we, how much do you put in, you know, in reference to Boba Fett, you know, and when you get to this movie, how's it all going to be included? I think that you've obviously with multiple seasons of Mandalorian and multiple seasons, you know, probably by the time we get there of Ahsoka, you're going to get more of their stories versus Boba Fett's. Boba Fett at this point, I think, will just make a cameo in the movie. I don't know. I'm not really sure.
I don't think that he got enough love that will warrant that he'll be in for super, super long, but I think he'll definitely make his appearance. And I think he'll be more of a background side character. And that's the other thing about him specifically. I think that he should never be the front runner character.
Oh yeah. He wasn't even in the trilogy either. Like the original trilogy. He was a bounty hunter and he was just doing his job.
Yeah. And like everybody loves him, but I'm like, you don't need to have a front running kind of character there. You need to have someone who is literally just going like Book of Boba Fett. I think that you could continue that series, but you don't have to. Like, it's not something that honestly I even necessarily want. Right. Like, I'm totally okay with just, hey, we're just going to tell the story, and then that's just how he became a Rise of Power. And then maybe he's the new, why lost his Hutt, Jabba. He's the new crime lord on Tatooine. He does Jabba the Hutt's job. Like, yeah. I'm okay with something like that. If they completely tear out the Hutts and that's the new thing, is that him and he creates his own cartel and they just run through, like, I'm okay with that. But I don't necessarily have to have a full story behind it either.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this. So, like, you know, we've talked about Marvel projects before and how, you know, we could potentially book them and talk about them in a way we would like to see them booked or written. How would you do this with, you know, Grand Admiral Thrawn, presumably the bad guy, and combining Ahsoka's story and Mandalorian and Grogu, like all of those characters all at once? And then, because in the Rebel series, you get I think you get some of the Mandalorian race, but you don't get all of it. And we don't obviously get the Mando that we get in Mandalorian. And Grogu's not a thing yet. So how in the world do we get those included in the mix and then tell that story with Grand Admiral Thrawn? Because at this point, the reason Grand Admiral Thrawn wants Ezra is because of his power. You know, maybe he wants Grogu. I don't know. I just have no idea how that's all going to work. That's a big mystery to me.
Yeah. You know, there's going to be a lot of different characters that are going to show their heads. There's might be a change of how things work. And because Grogu is not Yoda, he's not like a well-known character inside that universe. He's still a youngling by age range. I don't know how they'll handle him. I don't know what they're going to do for his character. It'll be cool to see where they go from needing Ezra and a Force wielding to someone who it's different. I don't know.
Well, and then Ahsoka, like, I think they really went for the long game with how they, I don't know, told her story because she was older at that point. And she's not as young as she was, like, in the Clone Wars series, for example. And that's kind of what I wanted. Like, even in Rebels, she was a little bit older. But there was a point in time where, you know, she just grows up because of the Rebels series. And then, you know, by the time we get to her series, it's like, oh, she's older and wiser and what have you. So I'm curious to see what Thrawn wants and, you know, why he wants it. Obviously, he wants all the power. Which
yeah,
they did that in the Ahsoka series, and it was kind of weird because they had the witches and all that stuff, and you know they didn't really introduce that stuff in Star Wars canon up until that point.
Well, they did,
at least in the movies, in the series.
Yeah. So that's the thing. The movies they haven't, but the witches they brought
they were in the Clone Wars.
Yeah, because they were the witches of Dathomir. But what we have to understand. As Star Wars fans, I think one of the biggest problems that we have to face is like the casual goer that is a Star Wars fan. I'm putting big air quotes there. Like people who enjoy Star Wars are not the same people that are like you and me going and watching all the TV shows and watching all of the movies and like getting all the lore. And then you have like my buddy Don, who he reads all the books. And so,
well, Chad does too. My friend Chad from work, he reads all the.
And so like reading and watching and being a part of something even bigger, and like even Galaxy's Edge down at Disney World, they've done something very different. Like they're adding to the lore, they're adding different pieces and elements to it. And so as we continue down this path, it's part of the problem of building a bigger universe in your storytelling, because like Marvel specifically has this problem. You're building something so big that you start to veer off the main focus, which is why we have so many new characters, why we have so many stories that have so many dead ends at the moment, because or loose ends, not dead ends. Some of them are dead ends. There's just a lot going on and just trying to figure out, okay, what works, what doesn't? Can we make this story happen? Hey, we really want to bring back Thrawn in this story. Can we make it happen? And so I think that Thrawn is going to be your good, really, really good villain to be in between episodes 6 and 7. I think to have a completely different galactic threat, I think that's going to be awesome.
Well, and I hope you didn't finish Rebels, right?
No, I haven't finished Rebels.
Like the stuff that he doesn't like, he's just, yeah, he's pretty menacing.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Sometimes the most menacing of characters are not the ones that have all the like the force power and all the different like elements there. They're the ones who go a little bit off the deep end, and I love it. I absolutely love it.
Yeah. Are you concerned about having so many different things involved into one movie?
I think I am. Here's why. Yes, it's Star Wars. Yes, it's Disney. Yes, Disney owns Marvel, and they did really well with like the Avengers. I think one of the biggest problems that we're going to face moving forward is you're not setting them up through movies. Like Ahsoka has never been in a movie before, outside of the one movie that started her journey in 2008, 2007, 2009, somewhere there. aside from the one animated movie, she's never been on the big screen before. And so you have that character. And then Boba Fett, when was the last time he was on screen for a movie? Outside of like his young version, it's been since the 80s. And then you go in and you go and look at, oh crap, what was it? It was the Mandalorian. The Mandalorians have never, I don't even think they've even been mentioned in the on the big screen.
Yeah, they were, they've only ever been in the Clone Wars and in Rebels and things like that.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're bringing in a lot of new blood, which is good. You're going to be able to liven things up, which I think, honestly, the sequel trilogy could have benefited very much from these specific characters. But I genuinely believe that for a team-up movie of an Avengers kind of level proportion, Star Wars is going to have a problem because these are not characters that people grew up loving in the same way that, like, there's 60, 70, 80 years of Marvel and of all the different characters. Like, you go in and watch the Avengers, and you're like, oh, I know who Captain America, Iron Man, Hulk, and Thor are. You may not have known Black Widow, S.H.I.E.L.D., Nick Fury, or Hawkeye, but you at least knew some of the cast. And then you watch the movies that helped lead up. When you have TV series that are going to lead into a movie, I think it's going to be a little bit dangerous for them based solely, and I'm just saying solely on the fact that your audience just doesn't know. Your audience just doesn't know who some of these characters are because they're like my parents. They're not going to watch every single Star Wars and Marvel and all these things. They're going to watch the movies.
Yeah.
Like I've told my parents for years now, you need to get in and finish watching to catch up with Marvel. And they're like, we haven't even watched Endgame yet. And I was like, watch Endgame. Like it will fix the problems that you're running into. And then, I told my dad, I was like, you got to watch these TV series. He's like, I'm not wasting my time on that. And I was like, it's an investment. It's not a waste.
Or you could be like my brother Lonnie, and he hadn't watched any of the movies, and he went and saw Endgame by itself.
Oh!
He had never seen Infinity War or anything. It was like he might have seen, like, you know, Thor or Iron Man or something like that, but like he had never seen any of the Avengers movies, and he just went and saw Endgame.
But yeah, like my dad specifically is a huge Star Wars fan, and I just think that he's not going to enjoy watching this movie when it comes out because he's not going to have the investment in these characters. I've watched the Clone Wars all the way through. I've watched Rebels a good chunk. I know these characters for a vast majority. I've watched all of Mandalorian, Ahsoka, Book of Boba Fett. Like I've watched those. And to know that my dad's not going to get the same storytelling experience, it's just part of the problem that we're facing. Which, side tangent, Marvel, I think, made the brightest move back in January. They dropped Echo.
Yep.
And they did all five episodes at once under a spotlight banner. Do you know what the spotlight banner means?
Is that the thing at the top of the...
No. So they rebranded these, and there's going to be certain projects that you don't have to walk in knowing anything about the character. Like, they're going to give you everything you need to know. And so, like... You probably might be thinking, oh, well, wasn't she in Hawkeye? She was, but they reused the important scenes from her to help tell the story. So you didn't actually have to know much about the character. And so, like, when Moon Knight came out, like, they might rebrand that as a spotlight. When they drop Daredevil, they probably won't do a spotlight, but I'm not sure where they'll go. But I think Star Wars could really benefit from something like that as they are continually building onto their universe.
My hope was that they would just do kind of a season wrap. You know, what I mean by season wrap is do the five seasons like they were talking about of Mandalorian, maybe do a couple seasons of Ahsoka, do a couple seasons of Obi-Wan. Obi-Wan obviously falls earlier in the timeline. Same thing with Andor. But like just really hone in on those series. And I know that people aren't super invested in the series like we are, but like, I guess the idea is, you know, the storytelling that they do in those series, which is great. And I don't know that I have a lot of faith in, you know, another Star Wars movie at this point, not to mention they're going to do, you know, three more post.
Well, yeah. So this is really where I sit with Star Wars at this moment in time, where I'm thinking, what my thought process is based off everything that's there. their TV shows are phenomenal.
Yes.
And do not allow anybody to run the ship unless Dave Filoni is in charge. Yep. Him and John Favreau. Let those boys run the snot out of Star Wars. Let them build something. John Favreau helped kick off the MCU, and he has been a guiding hand with Kevin Feige along the way. And
well, for those who don't know, like Dave Filoni has done literally like Rebels. He's had his
Clone
hand
Wars.
In like Rebels and Clone Wars and Ahsoka and
he's been all over the map with Star Wars.
Pretty much anything that's Star Wars, not movie related thus far. I think he's been involved in at least every series.
Him and John Favreau helped put together The Mandalorian.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. That's still one of my favorite shows to this day. But anyways, I think that as long as you've got those boys running the show, I'm fine with it. And honestly, I would love just to see more TV shows that we get four or five a year, because they're not super long. Like, you're getting, like, Obi-Wan was what, six episodes?
Yes.
Ahsoka was six episodes. Like, 6 weeks is not a lot of time, and I'm okay if there's like overlap, because like, okay, when you're someone who's on cable versus a streamer, so cable, you would get how many shows a week? Like, at one point, because I built my own Plex server, it's something that basically kind of replaces Netflix for me, and I just buy the shows instead of having to pay a streaming service, and then it's mine, and I put them through an app for it. It's something I've enjoyed doing. I've had it for quite a few years. And like, I was buying, oh gosh, for me and Katie and our families that we were putting this in for, it was like Grey's Anatomy, Arrow, Flash, Big Bang Theory, Legends of Tomorrow, How I Met Your Mother, like all these different shows. And I mean, at one point, I think I was paying $30 a week just for TV.
That's crazy.
And it was because I was buying so many different TV shows as they were dropping out. And so like, Disney has been really slow because it's only one network throwing shows together instead of like five networks where you're getting a show from each network. So, I mean, I get that, but I think that Star Wars could really benefit from letting Dave Filoni and Jon Favreau walk in and say, all right, we're going to be working on The Mandalorian over here, and then we're going to do an Ahsoka series over here, and then over here we're going to do a droid series that's going to be very different, and then we're going to do a Wookiee series, and we're going to follow this. Or like, I mean, figure out your storytelling, and then maybe you go in and say, all right, you know, we're going to fix what the sequel trilogy did to Rey. And they're going to use – what is the point between worlds? The world between worlds?
Yeah, world between worlds. Well, I'm sorry, world between worlds.
So if what exactly does that do?
Are you asking me, or are you just
yes.
are you
like yeah, no,
playing devil's advocate or arguing it, or
no, because I'm curious about that. What exactly does that do? Because that came in with Rebels, right?
It came in Rebels. So like the idea is that I think it's very similar to what we know as the multiverse in Marvel or DC. It's Star Wars' multiverse, basically. And you can go through different points in time or different layers of the galaxy and see people from the past or see different outcomes. And like in Rebels, for example, I think Ezra's fighting Vader and Ahsoka sees him and pulls him through the world between worlds and saves him from Vader.
And I think it's the opposite. I think Ezra saved Ahsoka.
Ahsoka. Whatever. But you get my point. Like, whoever's fighting Vader,
okay,
like they save one another and they're in the world between worlds and they get away from Vader. So like, it's almost like it's almost like Doctor Strange too, in a way, like where they have the portals and they can just go through and
They could potentially change the outcome of something.
Correct. So
I would love if they walked in and they said, all right, we killed an actual Skywalker, and we're going to bring Kylo Ren back to the world between worlds and somehow fixed it so that way Rey and Kylo could just, she could become an actual Skywalker, even though he's a Solo, like.
No.
Yep. Yep. That's what I want.
If they, wanted to do that, they should have just done it to begin with.
Yeah, but the boys weren't in charge. Let the boys run it. Let them fix things. Let them fix Star Wars.
Everybody talks about how The Force Awakens is such a carbon copy of A New Hope, which I agree with that statement. My point in that is that, okay, if they were going to commit to that kind of story, then why didn't they just make Rey and Ben Solo or Kylo Ren twins who were separated at birth and just do the same thing again? Like, it would have made so much more sense. And instead of trying to, you know, make them lovers and have them kiss and then have him die at the end, it was stupid.
Yeah.
It was just dumb. Sorry.
But that's what I'm saying. It's like, if you use the world between worlds, then you could.
Which is what Thrawn is essentially doing at the end of the Ahsoka season one. He left Ahsoka and Sabine in another realm. And then it was the same realm that obviously he was banished to. And so he got out and left Ahsoka and Sabine. And so, you know, part of the reason he was banished there is because Ezra banished him at the end of the Rebel series. Spoiler alert. But,
oh, you ruined it for me.
Well, thanks. You've had significant amount of time to watch the Rebel series. And I know that you're not a big fan of that era, but, like, man, is there some good writing and good storytelling?
Yeah, I remember some good content that was there. As we move forward, there's a new rumor that you had sent me, and I want the listeners to hear this. There's a rumor that Taika Waititi is going to get a Star Wars film. Micah, how do you feel about that?
If you would have asked me after Thor Ragnarok, I would have been excited, but after Thor Love and Thunder, no. I'm just not interested in anything that guy does now. And I don't know if he just ruined it for me with Thor Love and Thunder. I'm just not interested.
Which is funny because his Ragnarok was so unique and so good. And then just Love and Thunder just was love and crap. Like, it just did not do what it needed to do.
Love and bombed.
Yeah, love. Yeah, that's exactly.
It's just sad state of affairs. I don't know. Like, they're talking about all these, additional projects, like similar to what you were talking about just a few moments ago. And, like, what happens, you know, is this going to, obviously, I think this is going to be, you know, long term Star Wars, because they're going to do some stuff, I guess, in between now and then, because I think they're doing another season of Andor. Supposedly another season of Obi-Wan, another season of Ahsoka, and then the final season of Bad Batch. So, like, you've got to get through all those first, and then you got to get to season four of Mandalorian, and then the movie. But the thing that I think is beyond that. So, like, there's another series of, like, Stormtroopers, and I think that's the one that Taika Waititi is supposed to get, is a series or a movie about, like, the Stormtrooper Revolution or something. I don't know.
I don't know. I would rather see Bryce Dallas Howard take it. She directed an episode of The Mandalorian, and oh my gosh, it was one of my favorite episodes.
You mean they let her out of Jurassic World?
Yeah, out of those heels. She did a couple of episodes in The Mandalorian. One of them was my favorite, and she crushed it. Like, all the way across the board, she just, like, she understands. And I'm like, put people who are passionate about this, not, like, I read something about, what was it? Ragnarok, when Taika Waititi made Ragnarok, it was because he needed a payday to feed his family. And I'm like, okay, if you're saying that, like, there's clearly not a lot of love for the franchise. Like, go ahead and get out of here. We'll take care of things. And it just, when you put someone in charge that shouldn't be in charge, you're not going to get the best outcome that you can get. Now, Ragnarok ended up being a good thing, but then they were like, oh, we're going to capitalize on this. and do Love and Thunder. And he didn't care as much. He just wanted to have fun and mess around. And we, as the fans, I think we hurt because of it. Like, that movie could have been amazing with seeing Gore the God Butcher come in and all these different things. But when you get people like Bryce Dallas Howard, who's very passionate, and you can see that she loves what she does, and she's getting into the movie making, not just the acting side, but the directing side and the writing side. I'm like, I love that. Like, let her have a movie before you let Taika Waititi have one.
Gwen Stacy.
Oh, yeah. She was Gwen Stacy back in the day.
And the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man trilogy.
Yep. So, but yeah, it's things like that. Like, not rocket science, guys.
One of the things I was impressed with Ahsoka, like, I gave that series a hard time, but one of the things I was concerned about, but also impressed with, was that I was concerned that they were going to have a hard time bringing Thrawn to, you know, live action. And it was the same guy who voiced him in the Rebels.
Who voiced him, yeah.
And I thought that he did a great job. And I think that concern would continue into a movie. Just because, you know, we didn't get very much of him in the series. We got enough,
yeah.
But we didn't get very much. And, like, he didn't really do anything except for escape where he was, really. And in the Rebel series, he was super strategic in, like, just telling people what to do and when to do it and how to do it and, you know, winning wars. And we didn't get a lot of that in Ahsoka's series. So I guess my question is, do you think that they can pull that off in a movie? Or is there enough that's going to be around him to cover that between Ahsoka, Mando, Grogu, you know, Boba Fett, et cetera?
That's a great question. I think they'll be able to pull it off. I don't know how well they'll be able to pull it off, but I think they'll be able to pull it off. I think that because they handled his character very, very well with Ahsoka, I think they'll try to continue it down that route. I don't think it'll be massive changes or anything. Like, it's not going to be like Jennifer Lawrence's makeup from X-Men between movies, like, where one of them is like she had like full makeup artist stuff, and then the next one she's wearing a suit and her paint does not look near what it was. Same.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I don't know. It's just, I feel like, I feel like Star Wars recently has done really well. Like, especially like you said, in the miniseries, and I wasn't a big fan of the sequel trilogy. And so I'm like, I'm a little nervous, like, but on the other hand, you know, Solo was good. And so was Rogue One. And so, like, the one-offs have been, you know, 2 for 2 in my opinion. So I don't know. It'd be interesting to see what they do. Or how they do, rather.
One thing I'm really curious about is that Marvel did this really, really well of... was it Marvel? I forget how it was. Oh, no, not Marvel. Animation studios are starting to do this where, like, One Piece is a long-running anime, and they've been doing live-action versions. I wonder if we're going to see some live-action Clone Wars. If we're going to see more of that, because like there was in Ahsoka where we saw the flashback to young Ahsoka.
As good as that was, how would you feel about that? Like, as good as the Rebel, or I'm sorry, the Clone Wars series, as good as that was in real time as you watched it, how would you feel about them bringing that to life and potentially, I don't know.
If they did not follow the exact same story, but they did different missions with Ahsoka, and like brought that girl who played Ahsoka, the young version,
which was also the girl that played young Gamora in Infinity War.
Exactly. Yes. I would be 100% okay with that. Like, if they just kept continually like doing different missions of the Clone Wars and had different actors come in to play different Jedi, and we continue building lore. And then every now and then you get like Ewan McGregor and Christian, Hayden Christensen. That's what I'm saying.
Sorry, you just got him backwards.
Yep. Yeah. It's fine. It's all good. But I think if you did like where they do those hologram calls, because you could de-age them. Like, it wouldn't be super hard to do that, because you could make it a little bit more pixelated, or like you could do, like, you don't even have to necessarily show them, but have them do voicing. Like, I think that would be awesome to see those characters just be a part of stuff, and him be like, hey, Snips, I need you to listen to Kit Master Fisto. Or, hey, I need you guys to pay attention to Master Windu, or like whoever you choose to be a part of that. And like, you could really make something really cool out of it. I would love to see more of that era, and more stuff with Coruscant, and like battles on Coruscant and missions on Coruscant, or going into the jungle planets, or like, especially now that we have like stuff like Aquaman and Namor doing underwater stuff on big screen. I would really love to see, they did one episode, you might remember this, where they went and they helped the calamari and the fish people. There was a war underwater on a water world. And so like,
they were,
yeah. And so, well, like, they're,
I mean, it was super, you know, I mean, what did Phantom Menace come out in 2000, 2001?
Yeah.
So you get the Gungans, but that, and that was underwater. So,
yeah. So I'm like, well, they were just like going to a spot and then they could breathe air under there once they got to
the like
saying
a bubble.
Like, yeah, I'm saying, like,
I get what you're saying.
Put,
yeah,
put people in like the scuba suits and like have a battle underwater. Like, that would be really cool. Especially with the way they've done the calamari and the other, and what's his name? It's a trap.
Yeah. General Akbar.
Yeah. Akbar's group of people, because they're like rivals on the same planet. Like, I just think that that would be a really cool thing to add in. So,
I don't know,
that's my thought.
There's so many things they could do.
There's a galaxy of things they could do.
It just makes me a little leery. I mean, coming out of the sequel trilogy and like having such success, I think, with the small screen, both in animated and not, or I'm sorry, animated and live action. Like, I'm a little nervous to see them try to pull all this together in one film.
Yeah.
And like, and right now, what is it called? Like Grogu and, or Mando and Grogu or something? Like,
that's, I think, what the working title is.
But how is that supposed to tie into Thrawn? I mean, I know we don't know yet, but here we are.
Yep. It's probably just like the working title or whatnot. So, all right. Any other thoughts before we wrap this episode up?
Don't screw this up, Star Wars. No, I mean, like, honestly, like you said it earlier, Jordan, but in Filoni we trust, right? And in Favreau we trust.
Filoni we trust.
Like, it's just, they've done such a good job. And it's like, I watched a video a while back on like how Filoni was like groomed under George Lucas. And yeah, so like,
Cowboy,
it's like a lot of, we talk about film scores a lot, right? And so like, I referenced Michael Giacchino, and he's written a lot of stuff over the last, you know, 10, 15 years. He did Rogue One, by the way, but he, and he did the Jurassic Worlds, the Batman, several projects, right? But guess who his mentor was? John Williams. Right. And so like,
when you learn and you are under the tutelage of someone who just defines their work.
Yep.
There's, and not only that, but you're passionate about it, because like, you could go in and have a few different people who watch, but if you are very passionate about what you do and you learn from the master, like, you're going to be great at it. So yeah, in Filoni we trust.
That's kind of the motto at my office at work, is in Filoni we trust, because all the guys I work with, they're all like, yeah, I hope Ahsoka's good this weekend. I hope Bad Batch is good, and I hope, you know. So I mean, he hasn't let me down thus far, and I mean, I've loved the animated stuff, especially Bad Batch has been just incredible.
Yeah. So all right. Well, all of our listeners, thank you guys so much for hanging out with us. We will catch you next time here on Nerd Talk.